A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete.
Lose? I don't lose. I win. I win. I'm a lawyer. That's my job. That's what I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Comedians of Law podcast. This week, we've got the two Matts hosting, Matt Ritter and Matt Storrs.
What's happening? Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good. Good to have the powerhouse team back together.
Oh, absolutely. The Matt team is the best team in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean we're the West Coast reps.
Exactly, West Coast. Much more relaxed, much more straightforward. Very, very good. Better tans, I'd say.
Oh yeah, but, Alex and Kevin gets his body oiled up and tanned every week.
That's true. That's true.
Better natural tans.
Better natural tans. Yeah. How about that?
I think that's right. So we're doing a big show together in a couple weeks.
We are, man. I am really excited about it. I've been getting friends of mine trying to jump on in to come out. We're doing it out in San Francisco over at Cobb's, and a couple of my friends are like, "Oh yeah, so how are you getting out there? Where are you staying?" And just trying to like just piggyback onto my trip out to San Francisco.
Well, they want to turn it into a big road trip. I like that.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works. They have a history of not being as financially secure as I would desire before a trip like that. But we'll see how it goes. It should be a good time, regardless, man. I haven't been out to San Francisco in like probably 3 or 4 years now.
Great city, so. Great city, and great great legal community there. I mean, last year we had over 200 people at the show. We're hoping to do better turnout. It was really one of those organic ones too. I don't have any connections to San Fran. I wasn't sure how the show was going to turn out, but they were really receptive, and they were like, the kind of crowds you're like, oh, thank God, they get it, they get everything.
Absolutely, and I mean that's what you want, people that are really there, really supportive, and really eager, for what you're putting out there. And
smart crowds too.
Exactly, smart crowds. That's the best.
Yeah, so that's October 3rd. If anybody's listening and has any friends in San Fran or lives in San Fran, the Cobb's Comedy Club, you can go onto their website or you can go onto our website and, find links for tickets. So it should be a great show. That's Thursday, October 3rd at 8. Any other announcements? I don't know.
Nothing comes to mind. I think that's it. I don't have anything else in front of me.
All right, let's jump into the news then.
Yeah, why not? Jumping in the news.
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
This first story is, the international community, the United Nations, and everything that's going on in Syria. Did you read the op-ed piece from a good old buddy of ours, Vladimir Putin?
I did not read it. I got the talking points, though. I really like Nancy Pelosi's Twitter response to it when he said, something to the effect of, you have to treat everybody with equality and respect. And she responded, are you going to do that to your gay and lesbian gay and lesbian people of Russia? And it's like, oh, that is just an amazing slam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, what's amazing about it is I think if you had changed the title on the, I, no, this is my theory, is if you had changed the name on the op-ed piece, you might have actually been like, oh, they make some good points.
Yeah.
But coming from a complete tyrant and monster, it's very difficult to take seriously.
Yeah, it's difficult to detach it from like you seem like a Bond villain, what I mean? Like I can't get my mind out of that mentality of like looking at him and being like, he is going to have some like massive skull lair where he's like, where he wrote this, basically.
Yeah, he actually is like one of those guys. He probably sits in a lair with the skull of one of his former opponents.
Yeah, it's
and he
his
like
inkwell.
You know, he like twiddles his fingers on the skull.
Yep.
Right. I mean, I agree. I mean, this is a guy who poisoned, I think, one of his rivals secretly, and you know, obviously his record on gay rights is none too stellar.
Yeah, nowhere near stellar.
You know, and his record on dealing with adversaries in, you know, military actions in Chechnya and otherwise isn't so hot either.
Yep, not at all.
Not to mention, the biggest point is that he's funding Syria. I mean, that's, you know,
yeah.
If ever there was somebody who shouldn't be trying to speak objectively on a topic, is a guy who's arming them.
Absolutely. You are just completely based around that regime. It's, how can we believe anything that you're saying as, like, an objective observer? Like, if it was, like, you know, the president of, like, Myanmar or something like that, saying, like, hey guys, let's get along, like, why are we doing this, be like, oh, okay, cool. But no, yeah, I'm fueling their, you know, their capability to survive these past 2 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a little tricky for him to get into. But, you know, on the flip side, I will say, you know, you read some of these points and you're like, yeah, why are we always bombing everybody?
Yeah,
why are, like, we doing that?
Absolutely.
It's a very tricky, you know, and I've been watching the news, you know, you get hooked in, and, you know, do we have a legal standing in the United Nations, I think, is BS. Just the fact that Russia can block our decisions to try and do anything, you know, whether it's send aid militarily or otherwise, it's, you know, it's a toothless organization.
Absolutely.
But I do think, you know, this whole idea of, like, we do think we're exceptional, that was the one that really stung everybody. To me, I was like, that's the one point that I agree with.
Oh yeah, going to law school, definitely. Like, I had friends being like, "Yeah, man, that was really harsh." I'm saying that. I'm like, I just graduated from law school. He is correct. Like, everybody thinks they're exceptional, especially going into that, you know, going into law school, that sort of thing. And you get out of it, and you're like, "Oh, I am very humbled. I am very humanized. I, like, the world is significantly different than, you know, what I present, you know, what I expected it to be. Oh man, I actually have to work hard." You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I mean, when I did my first document review, that was the last moment I thought I was exceptional as a human.
Yeah.
That was it. The second that I clicked on a document and decided whether it was relevant or not as my profession, yeah, was the last moment of my life I thought of America as an exceptional, exceptional country. No, look, I love this country, but I do think, you know, we need to be a little bit more objective in, like, why do we get to decide everything?
Absolutely. And the, going back to your point about the United Nations and everything, the mere fact that, like, you know, what is it, a handful of countries have complete veto power that can't really be usurped no matter what,
yeah,
the circumstances, it's just like, that is just mind-blowingly absurd that, you know, like, nothing really can even get done there. And then to think, like, oh yeah, well, we'll just act without approval. It's like, that's on top, like, another rung higher, you know, worse.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. I mean, I also think, you know, in some ways it kind of mirrors our Congress, you know, like.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely.
You know, it's like Obama's sort of in this fight now with Congress, too. It's like, should he now act unilaterally outside of their purview?
Absolutely. Also, I mean, it brings up, you know, fairly interesting, you know, Obama, you know, prefaced his speech with, you know, hey, you know, I understand that I can do whatever I want as, you know, commander in chief, but I'm choosing to go to Congress. And, you know, with the media the way it is, everything and the way things are going to be presented, and with future presidents in relatively similar circumstances, it's going to be very interesting to see how future presidents handle those situations when they're like, hey, I can just unilaterally attack these people because I think it's the right thing to do. You know, it sets an interesting standard as to whether or not, you know, future presidents are going to go towards the Congress there.
Yeah, and people say it was a calculated risk, that he was either thinking one of two things. One, that, you know, if it's that now he's throwing the ball into their court and it's not on him if, you know, the decision doesn't get made. Or B, he knew that he didn't want to go in, and he knew, calculated risk, that they were not going to go forward with it. So that was his way of looking tough and looking like a good leader, but also following the rules and getting the outcome he wanted.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, look, the population doesn't want to go into Syria. You know, look.
Absolutely.
Chemical weapons, I think it's horrendous. I think there are a lot of horrendous acts around the world. I don't know, you know, a lot of people who want to go in are saying, well, that's where we draw the line. I'm like, why? According to who? The rules of war, which are broken every day?
Yeah, absolutely. People have been, gassed and killed by chemical weapons in countries all over the world, we haven't gone in.
Yeah. What about drone strikes? I mean,
absolutely.
Are those within the rules of warfare? I don't know that they should be,
Right. And I mean, just, maybe drone strikes are completely fine now, but in 10 to 15 years, we're really never going to, we wouldn't even necessarily have to have any boots on the ground because everything can be so automated.
Right,
with
you're right. We may never have to have a ground war ever again.
Yeah.
I think there's another piece of the puzzle, which is, this sort of unspoken one so much, is the idea of who are we supporting if we're against Assad?
Right. That's a big thing because the rebels, it's not just one rebel force, It's a bunch of small ones, small different groups that, come together to fight, one common enemy. But the spectrum of ideas that is held in that rebel force is very, very strikingly different, and there's some people that are just abysmal human beings.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of Al Qaeda fighters, and extremists. Are we now saying, we'll give them the power and see how they get along with us?
Yeah, we have a good history with them, right? Yeah. That's going to turn out well.
No, Al Qaeda takes control in Syria or the Muslim Brotherhood. The first thing they're going to do is call us up and thank us.
Yeah, they're gonna send us a care package and saying, "Hey, thank you so much. We really appreciate it." They'll send us an edible arrangement.
Yeah, I could see that. 1-800-Flowers. They're gonna order us a big bouquet.
Yep.
Anyway, let's move on. It's too serious. It's too no pun intended. No pun intended. This is a much lighter story. Thomas Cooley.
Oh, Thomas Cooley.
Did you want to set that one up for everybody?
Yeah, basically, for those of you that are unfamiliar, Thomas Cooley, it's Thomas Cooley, yeah. It's Thomas M. Cooley, pardon me. It is a very, very well-regarded law school.
Number one? Is it before or after
Harvard?
It's
number one. It's definitely number one law school if you take into consideration the size of the library. If you take into consideration the length of individuals' commutes to school.
Yeah, also their bathrooms. Their bathrooms are clean.
Tip-top shape bathrooms. Yeah. Very, very good.
So if you were looking at those reports, those rankings, what other categories do they rank number one in?
I have no idea.
Oh, I heard actually they have the best barbers on campus.
Great barbers. Very gentlemanly cuts.
Yeah,
good cuts. Get there. So they've been facing quite a bit of negative press in the last little bit, and lawsuits from students for misrepresenting employment numbers, misrepresenting the quality of the school and stuff. The typical stuff with for-profit and schools like that. And so basically
the typical stuff that crappy schools that charge a lot of money and lie about what they get people do.
Exactly. And so basically what they announced was that they're going to link up with Western Michigan University to become the Western Michigan Thomas M. Cooley School of Law.
Same crappy law school, but new T-shirts.
Absolutely. Hey, and I mean that's really what it's important. You might get a color change, you get the merchandising sales. And that's positive, right?
As comedians, we know it's all about the merch.
It's all about the merch.
I think it's amazing. This is to me this is like Ron Artest changing his name to Metal World Peace and us trying we're all supposed to be like, "Oh, he's not a psychopath anymore."
Oh yeah, no, he's a completely good guy.
His name is Meta World Peace.
Absolutely, how can he be a bad guy?
Right. You know what I think?
And it's like
I think Thomas Cooley should have done is they should have just changed their name to Thomas Harvard Cooley Law School.
That would be excellent. Oh, man, that would be excellent. Yeah, no, what is it? Company is, you know, this is a pretty typical thing. Like, you know, you get past a certain threshold of lawsuits and, you know, bad PR, and it's like, okay, let's change your name. It's going to work well. It's like, right, but we live in the internet age. Like, you could change your name in the 80s and 90s and everything. Like, they're probably in the 2000s too, as well. And the paper trail, people aren't going to be able to go down that road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's still going to come up. Shitty law school changes name and pairs up with other shitty law school.
Exactly. And it's just like, you're like, the name change concept is – It's I feel like it's outdated.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Look, the most successful name change was John Cougar Mellencamp to Mellencamp Cougar, then back to Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and you know, he did it in a time when people couldn't look him up on the internet.
Yeah.
And say, you know, oh, he changed his name five times. You know what I mean?
But I think you know, we have to apologize to people who went to Thomas Cooley for going to Thomas Cooley. That's really terrible.
Yeah. Hey, man, I mean, law school really does come down to, you know, what you want to get out of it, regardless of the school you go to. If you're going to – you go there with that dedication and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to – you know, this might not be the best respected school, but I'm gonna get my education. I'm going to get the job I want. All more respect, man.
No, look, I mean, in all honesty, I do think there are probably some people who came out of Cooley and are doing good things, you know, but it just in general, you know, as a general rule, when a school sends you a packet in the mail offering you free, you know, just without you even applying, they're offering you admission to their school. That's never a good sign.
Yeah, never a good sign.
I think absolutely. I got offered a full scholarship to Cooley.
Yeah.
In the mail.
Yeah, in the mail, having never spoken to anybody.
Having never spoken to anybody there.
Yeah, American Express has zero interest whatsoever in this.
Also, it's in Detroit, which is always nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, their employment numbers might not be as bad as it seems. You know, if you want to stay in Detroit, they probably have some jobs for you.
Yeah, listen, there's always cash for gold. They need lawyers.
Oh, cash
for gold jobs over there, I think.
Absolutely.
I think it's an amazing move. I want to order a Western. I want to have a Western Michigan Cooley sweater. Can we figure out how to order those for the Comedians at Law?
I think we can get a supply chain set up. I don't think that'd be too hard.
If we could get booked at Thomas Cooley, I promise you guys we will wear the new sweaters and we won't utter the name Thomas Cooley. We'll call you WMU or whatever.
Yeah, whatever you want us to call you, we will call you. We will be very, 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 very kind. We'll be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be funny, like, at interviews for like, Cooley grads in a couple of years when they try and, like, talk their way out of it. Like, when, you know, they're like, so you went to Thomas Cooley, the unaccredited law school? And then they're like, no, I didn't go to Thomas Cooley. I went to Cooley at WMU. And then they're like, well, is it accredited? And they're like, nah, still no.
Still no. Got a better name.
Yeah, but it's got. Look at my T-shirt. Look at this mug. Great mugs.
Yeah, look at it. Our logo is really, really cool now. Yeah.
Maybe one day that will be important.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, you know, I believe that you're just gonna have a logo associated with your degree and be like, oh, he's an English major. He's got a big E,
nice.
Whatever. Yeah, and you know that's makes resume reading super fast. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I like that. I like that. That's good. The other thing that I was thinking is we were talking about, you know, like other schools. I think it's funny. They aren't the only ones that sort of do this. Like, you know, I think New York Law School is going for confusion with NYU.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
You know, I think there are a few other. I think I always said the best thing to do is if you're smart I think you should just go to the University of Hartford and just use a lisp when you talk.
There you go. There you go.
You know, so ask me where I went to school.
Where did you go to school?
Harvard. So now what did I just say? You can't tell.
I would assume that you went to Harvard and you were very well bred.
Right, right. And then when you say Harvard back to me, I'll just pretend that I think you have a lisp and that's why you said Harvard.
Absolutely. And you know, then it'll never come up again.
It'll never come up again, yeah. I got that actual joke came from there was a kid that I went to school with that he actually went to Hartford but he had a lisp and he said it as Harvard and that was just genius. That was a real That's thing. Awesome. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Should we move on to the last story?
Yeah, absolutely. What is that? That's Larry Summers, right? What exactly happened with him this week?
So Larry Summers is an interesting he's an interesting case. He's got a horrible track record, yet somehow he, you know, was one of those guys who fails upward in life. You know, these people, they just keep somehow failing upwards. I'm always jealous in a way of people who fail upwards. Like, they obviously have some sort of skill. You know, like George Bush did it. It's just amazing. I don't know if it's, you know, like you're in the right place or you know the right people. But former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers removed his name from consideration for the Federal Reserve chair. He basically said that because the confirmation process would be, quote unquote, acrimonious, it wouldn't serve the interest of the Federal Reserve or the nation. He's basically saying, I know everybody thinks I'm an a-hole, and I don't really want to subject myself to the firing squad where everyone realizes what an a-hole I am. It's only going to work out terribly for me. Who the hell thought it would be a good idea to put me in front of a congressional committee where they could find out what an a-hole I am?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not the worst thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to subject my, if I was in his shoes based on the stuff that he's done, I wouldn't want to deal with that either.
And you know, there's just too many, any one of the infractions that he has made in his past should have been enough for Obama to never even consider this guy. We could start with the speech that he gave, actually blatantly calling women inferior genetically at math.
Yeah,
that was like pretty recently.
Yeah, that's pretty recently for sure. It's like, yeah, that is a, yeah, it's 2013. You can get away with saying something like that. I don't think so at all. I think that's,
I mean,
it's audacious.
So that was that. I mean, he should have just been like completely summarily dismissed from whatever he was doing after that.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows that he's a difficult guy to work with, but he's also super cozy with Wall Street, which is always what you want in a Federal Reserve chair, right?
Absolutely, yeah. They're not going to have any conflict of interest.
Yeah, you always want a guy who has, you know, the bankers, like, the, you know, they have him in their pocket. That's what you want with an objective, important, critical policy-making position. And I say in their pocket because sort of his two biggest things that he was known for was he was the one who was Treasury Secretary, I believe, when they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated investment from commercial banks, which had a huge factor in all these banks taking on tremendous risk and destroying our economy. But he was also, combined with that, the responsible party for deregulating derivatives.
Yeah.
Making it possible for all these banks to come up with really complex financial instruments that even, you know, math majors couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah, financial experts can't even figure this stuff out.
So
you know what I mean?
He's the guy responsible for saying okay to Wall Street's scumbaggery in its highest form.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the guy that Obama was planning on considering for as a critical member of his team. So to me, that's a mark against Obama. Really disgusts me. This guy also is supposedly was part of opposing Elizabeth Warren's nomination to the Committee on Banking Reform.
Oh yeah, what? That's absurd. Yeah. Elizabeth Warren is like just like she has a special place in my heart for being as awesome as she is.
I agree. Listen, yeah. We don't usually get too political on here because Kevin works for the Republican Party, but just this is my personal opinion and. I would like to see Elizabeth Warren run for president in 2016. I would campaign for her. I would stump for her.
I've actually been thinking that it's going to end up being Clinton Warren on the main ticket.
I don't think they like each other.
No, I doubt that they do, but that hasn't stopped people from being president, vice president in the past.
This is true. This is true. But I for some reason, I see that. I don't know. You know, in a weird way, I feel like people would think Warren was selling out.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, I just don't know if. I mean, but again, you know, it's like, well, if you want to win, can Warren win on her own?
And this early on, I don't know. I think she needs a couple more years.
Yeah. It's hard to say, right? It's like, but anyway, the point is, I'm very happy that Larry Summers withdrew. I think he should withdraw from society.
Yeah, definitely should.
I'm not saying, you know, kill yourself. I'm just saying don't play a role in the way our economy functions and don't help banks screw people over.
Don't be a public figure if you're a bad person.
Yeah, and he seems like a pretty bad person. Although he was a funny little role, the guy who played him in the Social Network movie. That was a funny little role.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, he was like, just come up with another idea. That was his solution to the guys who got screwed out of Facebook. Just come up with another idea.
Yep.
He's like, you're a college kid. So those are our stories for the week. Let us move on to a little section we call Good Cop, Bad Cop.
And I thought, wow, I got to go even bigger than that since we're doing Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
What? No, I said Good Cop, Bad Cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop.
What do you want to be?
I can be good cop. I got a list of awesome people right in front of me.
Well, I'll be bad cop, and I'll say that, you know, we didn't get a lot of comments, but the one that we did was nice.
Yeah, that was a really nice comment. I really like that.
So, you know, I don't want to be too bad of a cop. I'd like more people to use the hashtag CALPod because that's what wins you a t-shirt. But go ahead and you know, start announcing the people that we love.
Yeah, let's see. Like, just a couple minutes ago, we had a BAMF Eli Illegal just started following us. Looks like we had Whitney Greer. Start following us. We appreciate that.
She looks very fashionable.
She does. She actually is. She's against animal print decor, and I think I am as well. I think there's like no instance where that would look good.
Animal print decor.
Yeah, animal print decor.
I don't know. I have to check my. I may have some sort of snake skin and cheetah skin sweatpants. I'm not sure.
Well. I mean, if it's comfortable, it makes it a little bit better. But.
Yeah. I mean, a little comfortable. But anyway, so Whitney, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Whitney. We have Jocelyn Chia. She's the one that tweeted at us this week. We appreciate that. We have Baird & Broth LLC. We have Sarah D. Cutie. We have Sir Jabba Jalati. I don't know what that one is.
Good pronunciation, sorry. Though. Nice work on that.
Yeah, that's what several years of Italian will do to your pronunciation of words you don't understand. Friar Levitt. We have Cheer D. Loves and Stephanie LaCroix. So we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for following us.
Also,
week.
You know, we should mention Jocelyn Chia said, happy to have discovered you guys. I like that. I like that we were discovered. I want to know, Jocelyn, how did you discover us?
Absolutely.
And if you write us back with the hashtag CALPod, we will send you a free t-shirt.
Absolutely. We will send that right out. And maybe a WM Cooley shirt as well if we get
it. Yeah, we may send – if anybody – you know what? Actually, if anybody sends us a tweet with the hashtag CALPod and includes a picture of a Cooley logo, I want to see what the new logo looks like. So the first person to send us that will win a free t-shirt too.
Definitely.
And if you send me a free t-shirt of Thomas Cooley, I'll send you two Comedians of Law t-shirts.
Oh, man, what a deal.
What a deal. That's a steal. Anyway, I think that wraps up this podcast. We're going to keep it short this week because we've got a lot of big things that we're prepping for. You know, we've got our big San Fran show that we're really excited about. And, you know, we really hope to see all of you guys there.
Absolutely. Hope to see you all. That's going to be a great show for sure.
All right. Talk to you next week, Matt.
All right. Talk to you then. See you, Matt.